I'll explain. I understand your question. Please sit down. By mathematics of doubling, this young brother Muhammad Oda means that once during 1982 visit to Frankfurt, I explained to the young men present that you cannot become victorious unless you follow the ways of nature and the reproductive system of nature. And that system is not like a missionary system, that out of a community of 500 or 1,000, just one missionary is expected to produce, or like the honey bee comb system, where just one queen is reproductive and the rest are laboring and working to support the queen. The system observed in nature is very different. It began with doubling. When you study the form of early life, you come to realize that the odds against life were so great that if every cell was not capable of doubling, life simply could not have survived those great odds. So to begin with, the early life followed the system of doubling. Each cell doubled and redoubled and redoubled, with the result that in a matter of hours, some bacteria made colonies for which there is no known number to count in any human language. I mean, they swell to such size and number that no human language can cover that number, because each cell multiplied. So that is what he is referring to by saying mathematics of doubling. I said in preaching, it is highly important that we follow the ways of nature, and instead of depending upon a few missionaries or just a few very forward people, if each Ahmadi learns how to double at least once in a year, then that victory, which appears to be far, far beyond your reach and is in fact receding from you at a faster pace than you are walking or running towards it. I explained to them that it is a fact that people, non-Ahmadis, I mean, are reproducing through the normal sexual system, the normal reproductive system, at 100 times or more rapid rate than we are gaining converts. So how could you ever dream of capturing the entire world for the sake of Islam unless you rectify your ways and begin to imitate nature, nature of Allah, and the nature which was imitated by every prophet. And during the early time of prophethood, this was the phenomena which was responsible for great revolutionary changes, and none other. This is what I tried to impress upon them. And also I quoted an example to make them remember this. It's a very interesting example. It is said that the person who invented chess, the king of China, it's said that he was a Chinese, and it was the emperor of China to whom it was presented, but whatever the details be, they're neither here nor there. The conversation which passed between them, that is important. The emperor was so pleased that he asked the inventor of chess to name his prize, the name his prize, and it would be for the asking. So he said, "O emperor, the prize is very big. I hope you will not mind if I ask that prize." He said, "No, I name anything. My empire is far too big for you to defeat me." So he said, "Take one piece of rice, one seed of rice, put it in the first चेक बोर्ड, व्हाट यू कॉल खाना, फर्स्ट खाना, चेस में भी स्क्वायर कहते हैं, हैं? हाँ, यस, इन द फर्स्ट स्क्वायर एंड टू इन द सेकंड स्क्वायर एंड फोर इन द थर्ड एंड एट इन द फोर्थ एंड 16 इन द फिफ्थ एंड 32 इन द सिक्स्थ and 64 in the seventh, and so on and so forth. Calculate this number, and please give me only those seeds of rice which, according to calculation, should fall to the lot of the last check, last square. So the king was very much annoyed. He said, behead this man because he has insulted me. He asked too little. And he has insulted him by asking such a trivial thing for me. The Prime Minister was a very mathematical man. So he kept on working in his mind, and he asked the king, begged the king to permit him to speak. So he said, yes, what do you want to say? He said, behead him, all right, but not for asking too little, for asking too much. Because if you sell the entire empire, still you cannot fulfill his demand. That is exactly how it works out. Because once I remember this, when I was in the first year in government college, somebody asked me this question. He said, look here, if there is a piece of paper so thin or so thick that in 1 inch 50 sheets should be accommodated, and you put 50 sheets one over the above, and that would make 1 inch. So take that paper and fold it, double it 50 times. How high would be the height of that pile of papers? That was the question. So in those days there were no computers, and my mathematics was very weak. It took me 2 days to work it out, and ultimately, can you imagine what the result was? Can anybody offer a guess? You, Muhammad Oda? Pardon? How high the pile would rise if you fold the paper, doubling each time?
Something
in
crore.
In?
Crore. Number.
How big? Could it reach a mile high? More? So which is the highest, tallest guess? Yes?
Be larger than the planet Earth, sir.
Much larger. Because it is 1,66,00,000 some thousand miles high. So take a calculator, you can now calculate it in a matter of minutes. Just press it and continue to press. 1,66,00,000 and some thousand miles, not inches. So this is the fantastic mathematics of nature which Allah has taught us for the preservation of life and for the plan of future development and evolution of life. So as life progressed, the division of labor took place and fewer cells were involved. And a larger portion of the cells were absolved of the responsibility of reproduction in one manner. But in another manner, they continued to reproduce individually, each cell, or life would have got extinct. For instance, in the human body of every person, each living cell is reproducing and multiplying. Otherwise, the daily use of energy and the stress of our labors would dissolve the whole body and dissipate it into nothingness within a matter of days or weeks. Because every 7 years, the whole system of the body, every cell is changed into a new one. And the number of cells is so great that again there is no word in any language to count that number, unimaginably high. And that body is maintained by the process of duplication. Yet for reproduction, just a few cells are specialized. But when I say a few, the order is still very high. When somebody's count falls and it is said that only 100,000 cells per drop are visible, then doctors begin to express hopelessness about his possibility to bear children. They say the number has fallen so low that you can't bear children now, there is a remote possibility. It has to be normally 4 million per field. So that is an immense number. So those have the capability of doubling and reproducing in the form of another human being. So I told him, if you want to really conquer the world for the sake of Islam, learn Allah's ways and know that at the time of every prophet, this was the phenomena adopted, as we learned from the history of Ahmadiyyat. It's a fresh history in our mind. At the time of Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, every sahabi, every companion was a preacher and he was reproducing. And the second advantage of this is, which perhaps he doesn't remember, but I also told him, that if you reproduce at every level, then you draw a balanced society from around you. Like it happened at the time of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam. A nawab would be preaching to a nawab, an advocate would be preaching to an advocate, a peon would be preaching to a peon. In their own respective spheres, Ahmadiyyat spread in a most well-balanced manner. A miniature society was created which was exactly depictive of the society outside. It was miniature, but in proportions, it was reflective of what was around. But if you ask just the missionaries to preach, they have their limited reach. And every missionary has his own reach. Some can fly high, some can fly low. And they can't change that platform of their approach because they are made like it. So then you will be very limited in your approach. So whichever way you look at it, you should be fully prepared for a large-scale contact with the non-Muslim world. A very large contact is to be made now. We have already lost so much time. This is why I gave the first target to Germany to be 100 German Muslims. And I said, as long as you do not gain following from the local people who are the true sons of the soil, you cannot establish Ahmadiyyat anywhere in any country of the world. So I'm so happy that despite the fact that many of the boys there are not highly educated compared to other countries, compared to England for instance, their standard of per capita education is positively lower and much lower than that of the Ahmadis living in the UK. Yet their speed of progress and propagation is much faster, because during the last 4 or 5 months since I launched this scheme there, they have got 50 converts by now with the grace of Allah, while ever since the inception of mission up to the time when this new scheme was introduced, there were not 50 converts over all that period. And among them, with the grace of Allah, 16 some are Germans. And some are, for instance, Yugoslavs, Italians, even Sinhalese. And there is a wide variety of people coming from various directions. So the target was 100 German Muslims. And the next target which I wanted to give the German Muslims was, in particular, to swell to the size of 1,000 as soon as possible. And the longest I was ready to give them was before the centenary. We should have 1,000 Muslims. If you reach the platform of 100, I assure you it will not at all be difficult. And during my short experience with various people of the world, my preaching experience was limited mostly to Pakistan previously. But now I have reports from all over the world. From my experience, I can say that you can pin very high hopes in Germans. They are very serious. Once they accept a message, they become seriously devoted to it. And they don't take things lightly. And they are people who are ideal for regimentation. They have always produced results through regimentations. So through religious regimentations, 100 Germans can create revolution in the country. And once they become 1,000, then you'll see the things changing everywhere in every direction, most rapidly. And that can become the first European country to become a Muslim, while it was the last to become Christian. So that is the beauty about the German people. They were the last to accept Christianity. In fact, it is wrong to say they accepted Christianity. They did not. The only people in Europe who refused point blank to accept Christianity were the German people. Until it was decided by the other German nations to put them to sword. And through the use of sword, they destroyed a large number of the Germans, and whatever was left was forced to accept Christianity under the punishment of death. So that is also a great compliment to them. Their simple, straightforward minds could not understand the intricacies of Christian doctrine of Trinity. This is why they didn't accept. And their simple, straightforward minds are readily accepting Islam, because it is exactly according to their nature. So this is why I am relying on Germans to become first European country which should be declared a Muslim country. And this is not a high tall hope or high talk. The fact is that my short experience with them reassures me that the moment they reach these two stages, one after the other, first 100 and then 1,000 German, then things will spread very rapidly, inshallah ta'ala.
So is it the reason
that is the mathematics of doubling? Now you understand?
Yes.
Right.